Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
How to keep your cats busy. I'm telling you, it can be a challenge, but we know it's not impossible. And joining us is, she needs no introduction, by the way, but we're going to do it anyway. Tabitha Cusera is in the house. How are you, my friend?
I am wonderful and super stoked to talk cats, and I'm always stoked to see you, of course.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, this is a good one. To the listeners, we were chatting about. So wait, we were at the airport, and we were saying, I got to get you on the podcast. You know, this is how we roll in Vet Med. You know, we see each other in passing, and I know that you give this outstanding talk, and we're going to be kind of shortening it for the podcast. But my friends, if you have not listen to Tabitha speak at any of the conferences, you need to. Her energy, her passion for vet med, it exudes from her pores, and it's wonderful. You're a great educator. Thank you for all you
Thank
do.
Thank you. Who can't be stoked about vet med?
Right. Best profession on the planet. And a little info about Tabitha. She's an elite fear-free and low-stress handling certified registered veterinary technician, a veterinary technician specialist in behavior, a certified cat behavior consultant, and a Karen Pryor Academy certified training partner. She is the founder of Chirrups and Chatter Cat and Dog Behavior Consulting and Training and co-founder of Small Paws, an award-winning educator and international speaker. Tabitha lectures at regional, national, and international conferences helping animal care professionals and pet caregivers deepen their understanding of animal behavior and strengthening the human-animal bond. She's a fear-free certified speaker, fear-free practice certification consultant, and the host of the podcast, Tales from a Vet Tech.
I dig behavior, if you don't understand that based on my bio.
Right. I love it. And Tails is T-A-I-L-S, by the way.
So, yes.
Yes. Excellent. Okay, so, you know, cats certainly are amazing creatures. They're intelligent, they're curious, they're active. I was telling before we recorded, there was this gentleman, listeners, I gotta get his name, but it was a wonderful video of him, how he completely revamped his house on a budget, by the way, for his two cats. We're talking tubes. There's archways that are going through the house. They have areas to climb, areas to look out. And they even interviewed his veterinarian, and his vet said that they have very minimal health issues, no inappropriate elimination, no intercat aggression, and he attributes all of it to this house. So I would love to get your thoughts on that. Like, it's come such a long way with where we're seeing the cat parent these days, and what does that look like now?
It is awesome because I think, as you know, in vet med, but also with cat caregivers, we have seen huge progress, maybe I would say even in the last 5 years. Now, I still think there should be more progress. We're finally understanding, hey, we need to let cats be cats. But it also can be really challenging for caregivers because I'll be honest, when I go to the pet store, I don't see a lot of things be there for cats to be cats. So as a caregiver, you go to the pet store, you're like, I'm going to do the best by my cat. And then, you know, it's a cat book bag where the cat can't move, or the litter box is too small, or it's a cat mouse the size of their head, and mice don't throw themselves at cats' faces. But it is getting a lot better. And like you mentioned, when it comes to enrichment, I think a lot of us get overwhelmed. We all get overwhelmed, but enrichment can be free. It can be minimal time. I actually make enrichment schedules for all of my patients. And of course, I personalize that to the individual cat, but also to the caregiver. If they have a 9-to-5 gig, their AM enrichment maybe is something that takes 30 seconds. Like, grab 5 pinches of a scent combination, like Silver Vine, Valor Root, Catnip. There's a lot of products out there where you could just grab a pinch of it, place it in 5 places in the house. They're living their best life. And that takes my caregiver 10 seconds. So I think sometimes we get overwhelmed and bogged down, but enrichment can be really cheap, free, but also minimal time. Of course, we all want to spend time with our kitties. So some of the enrichment is also kitty with caregiver, and it might be a 15 or 20 minute play session or a 2 minute clicker training session. I mean, the opportunities are endless. And with this man, I'm sure, I think he's allowing his cats to be cats. And also, we do see a lot less behavior issues. And I love how you said medical issues, because medicine is behavior. So we also see a lot less medical issues as well when cats can be cats. Like, if I wasn't allowed to trail run, which winter's been rough in Ohio, I'm not going to lie, it has severely affected my mental my mental health. Thankfully, it's March now. We're seeing grass. It's really exciting. But I'm already, just based on that, I'm so much happier. So we need to let cats be cats.
Let's talk more about that, because it's a great point. You know, cats have predatory skills and behaviors needed to hunt in the wild, but yet we domesticated them and we're bringing them in indoors. So a lot of cat parents would say, like, well, how can I mimic that from the outside inside? So what would you say to that?
That's a really great point. And I work with a lot of caregivers who have an idea of enrichment and they think it's letting their cat outside, which that isn't the worst thing. Obviously, it's case dependent. We want to consider the environment. And there's a lot of safe ways to allow your cat outside, like harness training for walks or catios. I mean, the opportunities are endless, but there are so many ways for us to allow cats to kill things without, I love mice and birds too. So there's a lot of toys that simulate birds. Like, the bird is a classic one. It's just feathers on a string. There's something called a kitty lizard that I love. It's essentially that thin fishing line that makes it kind of look like it's invisible. And there's a lizard made out of like 3D plastic that moves like prey. I have honestly not met a cat that has not engaged with this toy. So there's a lot of ways for us to simulate those things. And then also a big one is allowing them to eat how they naturally eat, which, if we were to say that most cats ideally eat 8 to 20 small meals a day outside, if they were to live outside. Of course, we can't, I understand we can't do that in the home, but that's why a lot of veterinary professionals say feed them smaller amounts more frequently during the day, and then also allow them to forage, that beautiful pawing behavior, and seek and hunt their food. And there's a lot of different ways we can do that. One, I like to start with introducing them to puzzle toys, because I think sometimes caregivers get kind of defeated because they're like, we bought this puzzle toy and my cat isn't engaging with it at all. But I think sometimes we don't go at the cat's pace and we start with a challenging toy because we want it to be challenging but not frustrating. So that's a good guideline for any toy that your cat's interacting with. But I like to start with, hey, take 5 to 10 treats and place them in the areas your cat loves to rest. So this may be the couch or a perch on a cat tree. And I always tell my caregivers, if they follow you around and immediately eat that, because that's searching and allowing them to be cats, that tells us we can increase the challenge. So we may take a toilet paper roll and cut them into 1-inch rings, and you could work up to bigger rings, and then place the treat in there. So we're getting some of that foraging, that scent work, and then you could work up to the bottom of an Easter egg. Again, allowing them to knock things down, attack, kill, eat. But you can also work up to more challenging puzzle toys, which Trixie has a lot. There's Slim Cat Ball, similar to dog puzzle toys. There's Snuffle Mats. But it's all about working with your individual cat. Like, if you have an overweight cat or a cat with obesity, in that case, you may start by just tossing a treat a few inches in front of that cat, right? We maybe don't want them jumping and see. We're working on weight loss. Just like if I was working on weight loss, or even when I started running, I started with a mile and it was rough. And now I'm running like 30 miles. So I think sometimes we forget breaking it down and working with that individual cat. Or if they have chronic pain that you're managing with your vet team, I'm going to adapt that play even. With a wand toy, I'm going to have shorter sessions. More of those movements are going to be on the ground. We're going to keep it lower to the ground. When it comes to scratchers or catnip kickers, I'm going to do, of course, vertical, but horizontal scratchers, because a lot of painful cats, this is really hard to reach. So I think sometimes we forget about adapting to our individual cat. And you caregivers, you know your cats. You know what they love. And something I have found when I'm working on severe behavior issues, whether it's human-directed aggression or house soiling, part of that is meeting the cat's social, physical, and mental needs, which is what enrichment is. And the joy that caregivers get when they're like, my cat is being a cat. They like him watching his cat go through all those tunnels. He probably started with something small and he's like, this is so amazing. I want to do more for my cats. They really love to see their cats be cats. Just sometimes they don't have the education or the tools on how to start and what that looks like.
And it really enhances the human-animal bond even more. You know, they're certainly your air quotes here, like child, you know, we love to have them as, but when you see them do like cat things, you're like, oh my God, this is awesome, because they're happy, they seem fulfilled. So it's that beautiful balance that's there that really helps seal that human-animal bond even more, I would say, right?
Yeah, and again, it's, I'll be honest, even as a, you know, veterinary behavior professional, we're always surprised, and I've been genuinely surprised by how much the bond grows through, because of course it takes time to work on behavior changes, changing emotional states, but right away we're working on that enrichment, and these caregivers are like, so half the time they're like, the behavior issue, we're still working on managing that, but my cat is the happiest they've ever been, and caregivers' friends and family, when they come over, notice it. It is... Again, it blows my mind, but it definitely makes sense. So it's not only the caregiver and the cat, but their friends, which is great because then those caregivers are planting seeds that cats need enrichment and what it looks like. Because there's a lot of myths about cats, right, Adam? Like, they're stagnant. They don't really move much, which they do sleep a lot, but they eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom. They like a bot. Like, the joke is, we bought this expensive toy and they play with the box. Ha, ha, ha. Well, how are we moving that toy? What does that toy look like? Is it made for your specific cat, right? So they could play with the box. And instead of saying, my cat's frustrated, they're difficult, ha ha, they only play with the box, take that as data. Like, a lot of clients say their cats never play. And then when I come over and maybe put that wand toy that should be 3 feet or longer under a towel and let it go around furniture, their cat is not only like watching, which is part of play, but they're like pouncing and chasing it. So we do have to consider, we have the toy, but then how are we engaging with that toy for that individual cat, right?
Yeah, totally. Okay, so let's talk about the cat's day. You were just talking about some of the things they like to sleep, of course, and eat. They rest, they stalk, they chase, they pounce, they kill, and groom, among other things. What happens when it does get to that boredom component? What does that look like? Because what can boredom turn into?
That's a really great question. So boredom can turn into quite a lot of things. Like, of course, we tend to see more weight gain, which can make other things harder for that cat, like mobility. It increases their chances of getting diabetes and all of these other things, but it also really increases the chances of behavior issues. And this might be connection seeking. Yes, I do not say attention seeking because language matters. This may be connection seeking behaviors where the caregiver's working at their desk. And I understand you can't engage with your cat right there, but they start vocalizing, pawing at you. Some of these, like, again, I call them connection seeking, but we may call them nuisance behaviors. We're more likely to see destructive scratching. We're definitely more likely to see inner cat aggression. One, enrichment is resources too, right? We don't have enough vertical spaces, hiding places, and litter boxes. And with minimal resources, I grew up with three siblings and we had a small space and it definitely increased the tension. So when cats don't have enough resources, that increases the tension. But also, I work with a lot of cats who don't have appropriate outlets for that. Like, I get really excited, hence why I run very long. They need outlets for that normal arousal, and a lot of cats don't have those opportunities. And that can result in different play styles, attacking the other cat, even attacking the human, because they have all this outlet and we're arousal and excitement, and we're not giving them outlets for that. So it can result in quite a few medical and behavior concerns. And of course, you have a cat that's less happy, which all caregivers want their cats to be as happy as they can be.
Yeah, I love that. So my question for you is, I feel like this is probably going to maybe a pet peeve because it's probably a term that gets overused a lot, but I hear this so much, excuse me, as a general practitioner, is OCD. My cat has obsessive compulsive disorder, excessive licking, over-grooming, and the caregivers will attribute it, aside from ruling out medical disease, such as allergies and so forth, but they will think that it's because of boredom. So share with us a little bit of, like, how do we arrive, truly arrive to, like, an OCD-like behavior in cats?
Right. And I'll be honest, truly, I don't, from a medical behavior standpoint, that diagnosis isn't, like you mentioned, Adam, right? We all use labels and to describe behavior, but that's not something I truly see. And usually when I'm seeing like compulsive licking to the point where I'm sure you've seen it too, where cats are unfortunately not only barbering and ripping their hair out, but we're getting secondary bacterial infections and things like that. Of course, we're going to rule out pain and other medical issues, but in a big part of that is chronic stress, because boredom tends to result in chronic stress. And in many cases of cats who are over-grooming to the point where they're even injuring themselves, when we meet their needs, allow them to have various hiding places, safe spaces, because enrichment is more than just predatory outlets, right? Social interactions that they enjoy. Like you may like petting your cat like that, but your cat may not like you petting them like that. So increasing those consent-based interactions. And because we always take data, I have the caregivers take a photo, and then 14 days later, we love data. And I'll be honest, it's really common that we then see improvement in these compulsive, like the excessive grooming or destructive scratching, those types of behaviors once their needs are met. I mean, I've seen amazing transformations with just that part. So meeting those physical, social, and mental needs includes vet care. So like you mentioned, we're going to address and rule out medical issues. We're going to make sure or treat them, right? Or we're going to make sure they have safe spaces, that they have outlets to be a cat. That is what enrichment is. And I'll be honest, as a behavior professional, in most cases, that's all cases. I'm actually doing that first, and doing just that sometimes manages or resolves the chief complaint concern on its own. Like, which makes sense when we kind of unpack everything.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Okay, so I see a lot on social media, which I love, and you're going to love this too, is like we have a lot of the Gen Z cat parents out there, future cat parents. They can't wait. We know that there's more cat parents out there than dog parents, which is awesome. And what would you say in the ideal situation? I saw a woman post this on TikTok, and it was a great question. She's like, I want to have the best home for my cat. What are some tips that I can do to make sure my cat feels connected to me, safe, and free from stress and anxiety? Like, what would that look like when you say to a client, like, I'm ready to be a cat parent. What's the best ideal situation to make them have a great experience?
That's a great question. So first, click treat, verbal praise, reinforce the heck out of those caregivers asking that question, because that's beautiful. And I think a good guideline is, of course, Cat Vets, right, formerly AFP, has those five pillars of what cats' needs are, which I think that's a great realistic starting point and guidelines for cat caregivers, right? One, having multiple and key environmental resources. If I'm talking to a caregiver on a plane and I tell them what I do for a living, and we're talking for like 10 minutes and they're like, all these behavior issues, I'm like, right away, obviously I should have more data and context and all that, but increased resources automatically is going to make that cat happier and decrease stress and tension and all of these things and provide choice. Again, that kind of autonomy, that consent-based interactions providing choice. And when we say resources, I think it's important that we define those, because I've recognized the longer I do this, I think, 4 years ago, I would assume people knew what enrichment was. But also now I know enrichment for dogs is walking them, which there's so much more. And enrichment for cats is a box of toys that's been there for 5 years and maybe a play session. Like that's what the caregivers think. So when I think of resources, I think of scratching surfaces, vertical places, hiding places, scent continuity. Cats communicate via scent. And there's a lot of different ways we could do that. They release their pheromones and their scent scratching, so we need to have those. But also, you see your cat cheek rubbing, placing their scent everywhere. There's actually cheek rubbing products that really soak in and get a concentration of that scent. If there's something your cat rubs a lot, like I have a thing in my bathroom that's actually stained brown because she's been marking it for years. I will never clean that ever. So that scent continuity, there's also pheromones and things like that. But honestly, I think providing that set continuity is huge. And then, of course, litter boxes, food, and water. We want to have a variety of those things. And cats don't like for their food to even be that close to their water. And definitely not their litter box, because again, like you mentioned, they're predatory animals. And from their perspective, all my resources in one place, I'm more likely to get attacked.
Yes,
So
yes.
even separating their food and water, maybe, I mean, at minimum 5 feet, and most cats do not enjoy eating together, whether you feel like they do or not, they don't. So like those little things can make a really big difference. But if you're focused on increasing resources, providing that set continuity, of course, using positive reinforcement. So avoiding things that make your cats fearful or scared or painful. But then also that those consent-based interactions, right? Some of your cats may love cuddles on your lap. Being on your lap does not give them consent, does not give you consent to pet them. Just like me and Adam are huggers, but we meet lots of people who are not huggers, and they've been well socialized. Most cats don't go through kitten kindergarten. So we have to respect, identify the type of touch your cat likes and do that, right? We don't want to squeeze. I have stuffed animals to squeeze. I do not
Yes.
squeeze cats and dogs, even though my heart wants to, right?
Yeah. That's such a fantastic point. It really is. And it's something that I probably miss a lot when chatting to cat parents in the exam room about that consent, because they'll say like, "Oh, my cat swats at me, when I'm petting her or whatever. We're not having a good experience or bonding." And I said, "Maybe they just don't like that. I wouldn't like to be touched in certain areas, and maybe your cat doesn't either." And they laugh at it, but it's a real thing. Certain cats just do not like certain areas. There's you ever see the image on Instagram too, like the cat zone where you can touch me,
Yes, yes, yes. And the thing
But
is, I think that, like you said, caregivers maybe laugh about that. So I use a lot of human analogies when I lecture to vet med too,
yes.
because it's okay, everybody. As humans, we are conditioned to relate more to human things. So a cat's a cat, a dog's a dog, a human's a human, but we can put those things into perspective. Like, for example, I joke that when your cat's on their lap, that doesn't give you consent to pet them. Just like sometimes I'm really tired, I'm laying near my partner. Fun fact, that does not give them consent to do other stuff. Or it's really interesting because, again, this kind of leads into some of those cat stereotypes that are kind of ingrained, where people, I'll post a video of a dog or something like that, about consent, and no one says this comment, which is really interesting, but I'll post a cat, like cat content saying the same thing. And the comments are kind of like, yeah, my cat likes to be touched on their own terms. And it's kind of like there's feelings that aren't the most positive behind that. And then immediately I say, I like to be touched on my own terms. And then
Right.
immediately that person's like, I get that. And of course I say it in like a joking fashion, but communicating like that with caregivers really helps them understand. Or another one I commonly use, most cats don't prefer their bellies touched. And of course, every cat's an individual, but a lot of us see those cute little bellies and
Yes.
we want to touch them. And again, I tell my caregivers, if a cat is laying on their back, like stretched out with soft body and face, they're actually exposing all their vital organs to be murdered. So that tells us they feel really safe in that environment. And of course, caregivers, you would never hurt your cats, but they are prey and predator animals. It's just who they are. So I understand why that cat may claw at you or even disengage. You woke them up from their nap and they run away, and you may not think anything of that, but that's severe discomfort and stress. And we want, like, consent looks like your cat approaching you with soft, relaxed body language, sometimes tail up and curved, eyes almond shaped. And they literally, we all know your cats do this, they lean into your hand. And that gives you consent to pet them for 1 to 2 seconds on the face, neck, or shoulders. And then, of course, you have a relationship with your cat. So I'm gonna interact with every cat I work with like that, because they're technically not my cat, right? Versus I do things with my partner that I don't do with other people. Relationships matter. Versus my one cat, gives me consent, and I do 2 long strokes, like from neck to tail base, because I know that's something he likes. And if you're noticing that your cat swats at you or actively runs away while you're petting them, those are pretty big signs that at that point, they're they're screaming, please stop. So there's a lot of other signals ahead of time. And if you do consent-based interactions, we're going to reduce petting-induced scratching and biting. And you'll notice your cat will interact with you more because they're like, Mom, Dad, they listen to me and they pet me when I like it. They stop petting me when I don't. And as you can imagine, like sometimes my homework is, I know this is hard, but I don't want you to touch your cat for 1 week. And because I'm dealing with human directed aggression and things like that. And we talk through it. And they, within 5 days, they're like, my cat has never asked for this much cuddles. And I'm like, and it makes sense when you think about it.
Totally makes sense. I love that. As we're wrapping up, I will say like that is the stereotype that you hear often. Like, you know, my cat has an attitude, or like the catitude cat, you know?
Yes.
Attitude of catitude. And, you know, dogs do too, but like they don't talk too much about that out there. You're right. But cats are the ones that get like the negative stereotype. I'm like, yeah, they're just like tools and they're just being jerks about it. I was like, all animals have their moments, but I feel like, right? Cats get like the
I have my moments.
Right. We all do. But I think what you're doing is so powerful because I think it's just teaching the cat caregiver out there of like eliciting the, you know, their perspective and knowing when they can be petted and locations to be petted. And that's like what life is all about in general, I feel like. You know?
And those positive social interactions is part of enrichment, right? Not only with the caregiver, but I work with a lot of caregivers to help those interactions be positive with the dog in the home or the other cats in the home or friends that bring their dogs over, right? There's multiple situations, but there's ways we can make that positive and predictable because that predictability, every live animal feels, or human, we feel safer when things are predictable. So that's another part of enrichment, predictability and structure.
Predictability and structure. You heard it here, folks. Tabitha Kucera, where can we learn more about you? Tell them one more time about your podcast or any other areas where we can follow you.
Awesome. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn at my name, as well as Chirrups and Chatter. And then you can find a lot of awesome free resources. Or if you're interested in consulting or having me work with your veterinary clinic or shelter, because I do that as well, you can go to my website, chirrupsandchatter.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for all the great work that you do for the profession. You're just an amazing human. We love you.
I love you too. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Tabitha. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow here. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.